Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast, coming to you from San Luis Obispo, California, with Andy Stevens, Owen Main, and Luke Johnson.
Hot stuff.
What's going on, everybody? Owen Main, Andy Stevens, and a special guest host today. What's up?
Mr. Scott Sneed. How we doing, Scotty?
Pretty good. How are you guys?
Fabulous. Thanks.
Feeling all right. Feeling all right today. Getting fired up. Going to be heading to the Cal Poly basketball game. They take on Northridge tonight. Cal Poly got beat by Long Beach State. It was another
back
tough loss for
game.
Them. But,
yeah.
But hopefully they get on the right track again tonight. We'd like to, as we like to always do here at the Fansmanship.com podcast, start you off with some hot topics.
and the first hot topic is, of course, Andy, what do we got?
Well, the hottest topic of all here, sorry, I had to take a drink of my beverage, is the AFC and NFC championship games. Everybody's talking about them. You know, Niner fans been going nuts. You know, I don't know if people are maybe overhyping how hot the Giants are. It's kind of my feeling. I think the 49ers might use that to their advantage and kind of sneak in there. And we also have the AFC Championship game. People are kind of, you know, counting Baltimore out, but usually when everyone picks one way, it's kind of the...
Yeah, that's the NFL way.
To pick the other way.
And we'll definitely be getting to that.
Hot topic.
Hey, I got the chance to be in Wisconsin this last week in Madison and talk about a big time college town. I'm going to be talking a little bit about that today. It was 5 below 0 with like a -30 wind chill on a Wednesday night, and 16,900 people came to a college basketball game. So that was pretty
they don't care, you know.
Me.
They're used to that. They don't.
The Badgers don't care. They don't give a crap.
Make it even colder, you know. Make it -30. Then more people might show up, you know.
Absolutely.
And we also want to hit the NBA schedule coming into the season. Everybody's making a big deal about how, you know, some of the older teams are not going to be able to keep up with some of the younger teams because of this condensed schedule. Now that we're about a month in.
We got a little evidence now as far as whether that's actually happening or not.
Yeah, we got a little body of work to go with, so we'll kind of delve into that. And then before we get out of here, we definitely want to talk a little bit more about Cal Poly basketball, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We're headed to the game this evening. The game's going to be on Fox Sports Net, so I'm expecting...
Prime ticket.
The Jerry Buss started station. We're excited to be there and see what kind of changes that brings about as far as what kind of fans come, how many fans come,
right,
to a Northridge game.
It is a league game or a conference game, I guess you call it.
It's a league game smoke.
It's a league game smoke. went to the St. Mary's game. It wasn't a conference game. I was talking with JD there at the table and was asking him, is this a sellout? And he said, well, it's pretty close. It's
pretty close, right.
So we'll see if
it is. I think
they're
about 3,000. The sellout's like, I want to say 33 or 35
right.
in that gym. So
we'll see if it is, number one, a sellout tonight. Number two, how much more media will be there. There probably should be some more media because it is a regionally televised game. And when we went to the St. Mary's game, it was basically me, you, and JD. And I don't even know if there's anyone there from St. Mary's.
Exactly.
So we'll get into that, and we'll be right back here on the Fansmanship.com podcast.
Word.
If it worked for Tim Tebow, it'll work for you, too.
Let me guess. You're that Dungeons & Dragons champion whose parents forced into a sport of their choice. If so, then Put Me In Coach, an interactive 4D sport dance workout gaming experience by legendary dance queen Richard Simmons is the perfect thing for you.
Now kick and jump and kick and jump and catch the pass and tackle and shoot and kick and jump and catch the pass. All right, way to go, team.
The fourth dimension is
fabulous.
It will take you from pine sitter to sideline star, two-stepping sideline grooves that will even make the dance team resent you. The king of building self-confidence has joined forces with the legendary pine rider Chutke Atkins to develop this once-in-a-lifetime program. For a limited time, you'll receive a sweat-stained Glitter Simmons wig,
flashing clip-on nipple piercing, and pink or purple tanning thong for absolutely free. This is good while supplies last. To order, log on to www.putmeincoachatrichardsimmonsfabulous4dimensions.com.
If it worked for Tim Tebow, it'll work for you too.
Hi, my name's Chucky Atkins, and I approve this message.
I think Scott's still a little bit shocked from that commercial. Man. Shake him back into coherence, somebody. Welcome back to the Fansmanship.com podcast here at Fansmanship.com, coming to you from San Luis Obispo, California. We'd like to get into, actually, Owen's trip. He took a trip back east, I guess you could say, to the Midwest. Land of sausage and cheese, Wisconsin. Went into Madison and was, from his reaction, seemed a bit surprised that, you know, it's not like San Luis Obispo. Let's just put it that way, as far as the way how rabid people are for their college team. So how was the trip, Owen? Give us your first impressions that you had once you arrived there in Madison. Could you go straight to Madison, or did you have to go like through Milwaukee or something like that?
You know, you can go straight to Madison from like Denver, I guess. But okay. I flew into Chicago and then to Madison, and I knew it was going to be cold, and I've lived in the cold before, but it was cold, really, really cold. That was my first impression. I stepped off the plane and zipped up my jacket and said, it's really cold out here.
And wanted another jacket.
Yeah. And pulled out my other jacket out of the suitcase that I saved for skiing and other below zero kind of activities. But it was great. You drive into the city from the airport, and the first thing you see is the dome of the Capitol.
That's right. Madison is the capital.
Madison is the capital of Wisconsin. And you drive kind of along this street, and you come up, and the surrounding area is relatively flat. There are, I think, four major lakes around Madison. And you drive up, and there's the lighted dome. It was like late afternoon, so the sun was starting to go down, and the dome is always lit up at night. And it was pretty cool because it's the only elevated area basically in the whole city.
So you can
see it from everywhere. Yeah, you can see it from everywhere. And on my way back, actually, from the basketball game at the Kohl Center, you step out of the Kohl Center, and it's like there's a straight sight line to the Capitol as well. So you can tell that everything kind of revolves around there. I don't know how much politics you guys follow, but in the last year or so, there were a lot of protests and rallies, and they occupied the Capitol there.
I remember hearing about
a lot
that.
Of the unions and stuff did. It's definitely, a cool place. And when I say cool, I mean that both literally and figuratively.
As far as the basketball game itself, who did they play? What was the environment like around the press area? Because you got full access to...
Yeah, you know, so the game was cool. Uh-huh. It was against Northwestern. Northwestern had just come off a big win against...
They still play basketball? Yeah. Last time...
I can't remember
last time I've seen them on TV.
Just barely. They only had 9 players in uniform. They had a lot of injuries, I guess. The writer from the Chicago Sun-Times was kind of filling me in on what was going on with them. They had a lot of injuries. They had 7 scholarship players in uniform that they actually played. 2 guys didn't play. So they only played 7 guys all game.
So they don't have any red shirts, you know, practice players? There's practice with 12.
I think they just had like 5 guys that were injured.
Wow.
And they were going to get a few of them back pretty soon. But, you know, going to Wisconsin with a full complement if you're a Big Ten team is a difficult thing. Bo Ryan.
He's got the creepiest face in all of college basketball. Oh. He just looks like a creeper. He looks like a guy that would just come out of the shadows.
Dude is serious
walking
about
down
his...
the street, has a hood on.
He's serious about his basketball.
That's as far as I'll go.
That's as far as I appreciate it. He's serious about basketball, you know.
He's dead serious. Him and Frank Martin, that'd be like the creeper showdown.
You know what though, Frank Martin's kind of a you watch him on TV, and he's kind of a jerk to that reporter. If you watch that YouTube clip, that's Kansas State, right?
He's a jerk to a lot of people.
Bo Ryan,
it's like, where do you come off?
Bo Ryan comes off serious. Bo Ryan comes off serious, but not like a jerk.
But he has respect.
I think it seemed like it. Yeah, and so So going to the game, you know, I didn't know what to expect from the Kohl Center. I heard that when Cal Poly went there 2 years ago, they drew 17,000 for the Cal Poly game.
Wow.
And so...
So it doesn't matter who they're playing. They're just...
That's kind of the thing that I got. And I was interested to see, okay, you know, Northwestern, not exactly a Big Ten power. They do have... They are a Big Ten school, so it's a conference game, but it was also below zero on a Wednesday night. So,
right.
You know, what were we going to see? And so I got there, and first of all, the Kohl Center is beautiful.
When was that built? How old is it?
I think it's like 10 or maybe 8 to 15 years old.
Okay.
So it's not super old. It replaced the Wisconsin Fieldhouse that they had there. Uh-huh. I don't think if it was called the Wisconsin Fieldhouse, but it was the Fieldhouse.
What other events do they have there that you heard of? They have
at the Kohl Center?
Just men and women's basketball for Wisconsin.
Men and women's hockey, too.
Hockey. That's huge, right?
Because they're big NCAA hockey programs. And I actually would have seen a hockey game had there been hockey there that week when I was there. So it was basketball. And
had college hockey been relevant. But...
No, college hockey's awesome, dude. And hockey in general, you know, if you haven't gone to a hockey game live, I definitely... Highly recommend it.
So, I want to go to a Kings game this year. We're trying to get tickets. We were thinking about getting tickets, me and Scotty and our friend Ryan the Pirate. We figured that going up to San Jose would be a lot easier drive, but their tickets are a lot more expensive up there than they are
than the Kings?
Yeah.
Really? Or the Ducks?
Seriously. No. Well, then Staples Center. We don't want to go down to Orange County, but...
The Honda Center is not bad.
Yeah. Anyway,
off topic. So, we got into the Kohl Center there, and it was, you know, just this really awesome facility, you know, first class all the way, and the people there were great. The place holds, you know, 17 or 18,000, and the difference, you know, between a pro, because it's not a pro arena, but it basically is the size of one.
Right.
Aren't as many. Yeah. So, I mean, you're splitting hairs once you get above, mm-hmm. I think, 15. But pro arenas probably have more luxury boxes and are just a little bit bigger. What I liked about it was that it was 17,000, but it was pretty intimate. The seats are really steep, especially at the top two levels. Yep. There were three levels.
I love those types of places.
Seats were pretty steep. One place I've always wanted to see a game, and it's where Steve Alford coaches. It's at New Mexico, the pit, you know, where it's really steep, apparently.
That's the way they rebuilt Oregon's facility, the Matthew Knight Court. They built it like old Mac Court, and they call it the pit because that's the way they're...
That's the way they want it, and that's, you know, it's an intimidating place for an opposing team to play. So, you know, that being said, Wisconsin came out and in front of their home crowd, their first three possessions, they made 3 3-pointers, and
that was pretty much the game.
Well, you would think, right? And
did Northwestern ever have a shot?
They did. They actually fought back. It was 9-2, and Northwestern fought back and took like a 21-15 lead. So it was a pretty quick. Oh, it was like 19-6 run.
So they actually showed up.
They showed up to play. They got some talented kids. They got a point guard that's really good. And what I wrote about in the column is that's on fansmanship.com is that you go to the game and you kind of are watching the game and you're kind of watching the ebb and flow. And one thing that was really noticeable about these fans was that when one of the Wisconsin players made a bad play, or took a shot early in the shot clock,
or took a bad dribble, the way you described it to me.
I mean, when they did something that was maybe outside of their coach's, I don't know, general game plan, and they kind of seem to know what the general game plan was.
They know
too.
What it is. Yeah,
they see a kid take a shot outside of before they're supposed to in the shot clock, and there's this audible this groan like what are you doing?
Really?
And so, you know, you talk about Bo Ryan. Dude didn't even have to say anything, I would imagine. I mean, I wasn't down there in the huddle.
Just listen to the fans. That's how I coach you.
Do you hear those guys?
Yeah, do you hear them?
They are telling you that's a bad shot.
They're paying more attention to this game than you are, son.
You know, I would imagine. And so, you know, once they started to take better shots, the shots went in too. So there was like a distinct difference between the, right when the guy's starting to line it up and the is it going to go in?
The tense.
Yeah, the excitement.
Holding your breath.
The holding your breath versus the come on, don't. Yeah. Don't do that.
And of course,
and the shots, interestingly enough, matched up with that. So on the shots that they were like, oh, you know, they don't go in because the crowd knows it's a bad shot. the ones that go in, the crowd's, you know, already on their feet before it goes in. It's this really cool.
What about kind the of ones that flow. Actually end up going in that the crowd's going, oh,
they still go. In.
They're like, okay, just yeah. golf clap.
basically, it's like, oh, yay, great. Like, and
you then, made a bad shot.
Yeah. The idea is, though, that, you know, the fans are really, really knowledgeable. The way that it was explained to me by a couple people is that, you know, they said, hey, Owen, this is the Midwest. We have a lot of, you know, families, parents, moms and dads that coach basketball. You know, what else do they have to do during the wintertime? But, right. you know, go play some hoops and, you know, be inside. I mean, it's an indoor sport.
Yep.
And you know, I can just say that the crowd there was appropriately excited at the right times. And
that's a good way
more
to put
than
it,
a yeah. more than a pro kind of environment. That's kind of more of a, somebody described the Bucks as, you go and the basketball game's kind of incidental. So I was comparing it to the Bucks, like, you know, there's all this like glitz and glamour and people dancing around here and there, but with the Badger game, the focus was on the game. The focus was on picking those kids up and helping them. And in the second half, you know, Northwestern just got run down. Run down and run over and you know, the game.
So what you're saying is it's a tough environment for a visitor to come in and try to win.
And the Northwestern coach said, you know, after the game as much, he said, listen, you know, it's a tough place to play. Everybody says it.
Minnesota?
Minnesota. No, not Minnesota. Wisconsin. Wisconsin was...
Yeah.
They were going
Nurse.
Up... One of the... Ditka.
No,
that's the Northwestern fans.
A
the,
team of mini Ditkas?
Just throw the ball down low and power it home every time. throw the mustache. Drop stuff. Mustache, drop stuff.
Let's throw it to Scotty. Do you have anything you want to ask on? Any impressions that you may have about what you think about Wisconsin?
Not really. He pretty much
said it all.
They don't have much, you know, for the wintertime, but to play sports and
stay indoors.
Yeah.
And you know, once again, everybody there in this town has Wisconsin gear.
It is
their snow gear.
They're all wearing red.
So like half of the snow jackets are Bucky, you know, have Bucky Badger or the big W on them.
Uh-huh.
This city is so centered
it's
around the
everywhere.
University.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. I mean, I'd probably say half the people who go to college in Wisconsin or more are going to University of Wisconsin in Madison. And so, you know, it's just definitely something that the whole, as Fareed, who I think is going to start to write for us, guy I met while I was out there.
Okay.
He said, you know, the whole state really gets behind the sports programs here at this university. So exciting stuff. And, you know,
absolutely.
real big time, Big Ten basketball and
fansmanship was there to cover it for you. We'll be doing more things like that, hopefully.
Yeah, absolutely. And, whenever we get a chance and, you know, you can definitely see the big or the Big Ten Midwestern fansmanship that was going on there. We're going to come back. We'll talk a little bit more about college basketball, more specifically the game coming up tonight. Coach Calero's Mustangs hosting the Matadors of
El Matador.
CSUN, Cal State Northridge. And
they'll come in with the red capes.
And much more. We are Lukeless today, but we have Scott.
We're minus a Luke, plus a Scott. We'll take it.
We'll be back. Fansmanship.com podcast.
Flashing clip-on nipple piercing and pink or purple tanning thong for absolutely free.
So what is fansmanship.com?
Say what?
We're a sports website by the fans for the fans.
He wants to be a Laker.
For the Central Coast.
Catch the ball.
California.
A sweat-stained glitter Simmons wig.
And beyond.
Tim Tebow.
We love sports. Fansmanship.com. By the fans, for the fans.
Flashing clip-on nipple piercing and pink or purple tanning thong for absolutely free.
Yeah. Fansmanship.com. By the fans, for the fans.
What's up, everybody?
It's a crunchy groove right there. Crunchy.
Lady Rider from Ventura County. Oh. Welcome back to the Fansmanship.com podcast. I'm Owen Main along with Andy Stevens and our guest host,
Scott Sneed.
Hey, Scott.
From Jet Cat USA.
Hello.
If you've read any of Andy's articles about the California Jets and the big major, you know, RC conventions, I guess.
Yeah, Best of the West. They have two of them every year. They have Best of the West and then California Jets.
Okay.
Best of the West is the one that's in the fall, I believe, Scott, uh-huh. And then California Jets is in the spring. Is that how it works?
Yeah.
And that's out at Buttonwillow, California, kind of out in the middle of nowhere, just this side, just west of Bakersfield, really there. I guess getting down towards Arvin.
Where there's plenty of space.
There's plenty of space, and it's an old runway. And, the best from all over the world come in twice a year. Well, what was that guy's? It's not Presta. Who was the guy that put it on this last time? Was it Joe?
Yeah, that would be Joe Castileo.
Joe Castileo. He put it on this last time, and he brought in
Ollie Machinsky.
Ollie Machinsky, yeah, that's what I was trying to remember his name. He's from England. He's pretty much one of the best flyers in all of Europe, aside from the Germans.
Fixed wing.
The Germans, yes.
Because I've seen some rotor wing, some helicopter pilots on YouTube from Asia, some 10-year-olds that I think are pretty much incredible.
These are big-time turbine jets, right. So
aren't these little electric junk.
These aren't ones you take out in the backyard. You know, right.
You need a runway for these.
Yes,
yeah, understood. So we're all headed, and Scott, you've been here for about 6 years?
Six, seven years
in Slo County, and this is going to be Scott's first Cal Poly game that we're headed over to in about an hour here. Let's talk about it a little bit, Andy.
The Mott Gym Experience.
The Mott Gym Experience. It used to be the asylum with the Mott Maniacs.
I remember when they had that painted up on the top. Yeah, it's like, This is the insane asylum with the Mott Maniacs. We're insane. A lot of those kids were, too.
Yeah.
Falling on top of each other.
Yeah, up in that section. We're going to be over there at about 5 o'clock today, and they're going to be playing the Northridge team that JD said is...
And they are red, too, and that's cool, because it's the Matadors.
Los Matadors. And, so...
They all run into the gym with a rose in their mouth. as they do their layup lines.
Their warm-up pants are really tight. not to discount CSUN, but Cal Poly was preseason number 3 in the conference.
Right.
They had a tough conference schedule to start the year. They started the year at home against Santa Barbara, lost in a last-second shot.
Mm-hmm.
Went to Long Beach, were in the game till
And those are the two...
Those are the first two games of the season. Went to Long Beach.
Those are pretty much the two best teams.
And they played them in like 3 days. Lost. They were in the game till the last minute, lost. Came home and beat Fullerton at home. But then had to go back on the road. Beat Irvine, lost at Riverside, which was a tough loss.
Had to go to Rivertucky. That's always a tough task.
Riverside's a tough loss, and they're a real athletic team. But I think that's a team that Cal Poly probably feels like they should have beat. And now they're coming home and playing. They played Long Beach again, so they had to play Long Beach twice in the first 6 games of conference. Lost to them both times. They had a 12-point lead in the first half last week against Long Beach on Thursday night. And Casper Ware, the reigning Big West Player of the Year point guard,
mm-hmm.
went off in the second half.
He did.
I'm listening to it.
And
on
without
the radio.
Donahue, that kind of made it tough.
I'm listening to it on the radio, and Barquette and Terrence Harris are just kind of befuddled at what.
That's
how,
someone else we got.
How is he
Terrence?
Doing
we got to get Terrence.
We do got to get Terrence on our podcast. Absolutely.
We go back with Terrence.
Absolutely. And so, Terrence actually invoked a little bit of Mark Jackson. He said like Mark Jackson said,
"Hand down, man down."
No, that
Mama,
was
Mama. There go that man.
That was the one. That was the was one that he said. One. He said, "Mama, there go that man." And it was Casper Ware.
Come on.
Listen, Casper went off for 22 in the second half, including a number of 3-pointers. And that team is just loaded, Long Beach, and if they aren't close to undefeated in the conference, they are undefeated in the conference, but
if they don't finish
the conference undefeated, that might be a surprise. That's a really skilled and talented team that Cal Poly had a chance against in Long Beach and didn't take advantage. And then, you know, they gave up what, like 80 points to them this last time?
Yeah.
79, I think. And 79 is way too much for Cal Poly.
I think it was high 70s, actually, yeah.
Yeah, so.
79, so they, like, no, it was 70, yeah, 78, 89 or something like that.
Yeah, because Poly's not going to, you know,
score. 69.
Yeah, Poly's not going to score in the 70s too often. They're going to be in the 60s. 50s still, even though they have a little more spurtability this year. They can
win games in the 50s sometimes.
If they score in the 50s, yeah, because right. their defense is usually so uh-huh. good. In this game, not so much.
Yeah. But as far as Northridge, they come into this game with a 5-11 overall record, 2-4 in the Big West.
Same as Pauley in the Big West.
They're currently sitting sixth.
But Northridge hasn't played Long Beach twice and UCSB right, they, like Pauley has.
It looks like their leading scorer is a kid named Stephen Hicks. I don't know if you've done it. Have you done any research on El Matadores? Yeah.
Los Matadores.
16.4 points per game. Looks like he pulls down 7.6 rebounds. He's a guard forward.
Yeah.
He gets the most minutes on the
swing
team.
Swingman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So all their top scorers are guards. Their top four scorers are actually all guards. Hicks, yeah. Josh Green, Aquil Quinn, and Vinny McGee.
So this is like what JD said about the Big West. You know, we talked about what are they going to do down low next year. Well, you don't really have to have a ton of big man play. Right. You don't have to have 6'10", 6'11", 7-foot guys.
And that's the way it's kind of going.
All you have yeah. to have is, you know, a 6'6 to 6'9 and, you know,
just get a
low.
Bunch of 6'6 guys and you can call them 6'8", you know?
Well, that's, yeah.
There's a lot of fibbing on some of those.
Like
some of those sheets that I've
like
seen.
Like when I was 6'4 in high school?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Or no, I think I was like 6'3".
I think when I was a sophomore, my what did it say? The football said I was like...
About 300.
Yeah, I was like, what was I? I was like 6'4", 270 something. And I was only like 6'3", like 230 something.
Yeah, I think football, point, yeah. yeah. Basketball, I was like 6'3 or 6'4. Football, I was still 6'1, but went up to about, you know, 220, 230, you know, because that's what's fun.
Right.
So let's talk about Mott Gym now. It's one of the smaller arenas, and as I've gotten around and I've watched a few games on TV in the Big West, BigWest.tv is a great way to catch some games. It's a pay site, but it's through CBS Sports, and I really recommend people check it out.
Mm-hmm.
You look at these other arenas that people play in, and I drove up to San Jose State. They're bigger, right? They're newer. They're multi-purpose arenas, kind of like the rec center.
Well, it's
kind of like Cal Poly's rec center.
It's because they're in larger areas. You
media
know?
Market. Yeah, but you watch this game, and the attendance for the Irvine-Cal Poly game
uh-huh.
was about 900.
Really?
I think.
Wow.
It was small. Okay, and they have a bigger place than Pauley, uh-huh. and they draw less people, and so this is the kind of the beauty
Wait,
of Mott
yeah,
Gym.
I think I did see that.
This is kind of the beauty
yeah,
of
yeah,
Mott
yeah,
Gym
okay.
is that even in a smaller kind of arena or a smaller place to play,
it's packed.
It's mostly packed most games.
And
now,
even if it's not all the way packed, it still looks packed.
And it can get loud still, right? So you know, I know that Mott Gym is old. It's too old. It needs to get you know Pauley needs to get
at
a
least
new gym.
Renovated.
Well,
if
yeah.
Not, D-mode.
Right, right. I mean, that's at some point.
Is there room around that site for them to build a larger facility?
With the new rec center? I don't know. Yeah. There's the practice, the football practice field that's out behind there,
yeah.
behind the parking
yeah,
structure.
There's a lot of area.
That they could build something there, but they would have to practice football somewhere else for a year or two because...
And it's not going to be on the field because they don't want to chew that field up. It already gets chewed up enough.
Right. Right. So...
Spanos.
Yeah, yeah. So... you know, there would have to be some kind of a other arrangement there, but I know it's something that it was one of the reasons why I think, and I haven't talked to Don Oberhelman about this, but I think it's one of the reasons why he was somebody who was brought in at Cal Poly is to try to get enough goodwill behind Cal Poly Athletics to be able to build a new facility,
uh-huh.
even a 5,000 to 6,000 seat, you know, arena that. Is new.
Five would do it, don't you think?
Yeah, I'd say like 5 to 8. You know, you'd want it to
you think
be able
you're
to,
ever going to get 8 coming consistently to
you'd
a
want it to be
year?
Able to host a concert from time to time, though, because it's not just for basketball. So
that
is the
true.
Thing.
That
at,
is true.
At UC Irvine and at UCSD,
it would
where
pay
I went
for
to school,
itself a lot quicker that way.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And it would, you know, you could get a lot more, engender a lot more goodwill when it's, you know, kind of easy to move around and multi-use. Yeah,
uh-huh,
yeah,
uh-huh.
absolutely. So. Because you know,
that's the same thing they're going through down in L.A. wanting to build that football stadium is they want it. There is this thing that people are saying, well, you know, we don't want to build it only if we can get two teams or
right,
we can,
right,
you know,
right.
Sign up a lot of
if there can be a roof
through.
On it so that we can put a trade show there. That's the thing. They want to put a retractable
the
roof.
Gun Expo.
So they can do a boat show or a, you know, a model airplane show. Who knows?
Or a
you
porn
know?
Convention, you know. Wait, no, that's Van Nuys. They're not built.
The Van Nuys Civic Center? the Chatsworth Dome? Yeah, no.
The Sherman Oaks Center?
So, yeah, I mean, I'm interested to see what happens over the next over the next couple of years and see kind of where they go with it. Listen, it's a fun place to watch a game. It gets loud. And as far as the Big West goes, it's one of the better places to watch a game as far as, you know, from my perspective. I've been to a few of them.
It kind of has that personal feel more than all the other ones, right?
It does. Yeah. It does. You're closer to the court. I mean, you know, there's not a lot separating the fans from the court, and everybody does kind of feel pretty close to the action. So there aren't any bad seats in Mott Gym, that's for sure.
Definitely. And after this game against Northridge, it looks like Cal Poly kind of hits another rough patch in their schedule. They have four consecutive road games at Pacific on Thursday, at UC Davis on Saturday.
They got their Northern California swing Thursday,
and
Saturday.
And then they go down to Fullerton February 2nd and over to Baco on the 4th.
So Bakersfield's not in conference.
No.
Bakersfield's kind of that open date, and they lost to Bakersfield earlier in the year, so that'll be a revenge
game. CSU Bakersfield, home of Larry LeMond. That's when he went to school.
Oh, yeah?
I remember asking one time, so Larry, where are you going to school? He just goes, State. State you. I'm like, but where do you live now? He's, oh, Bakersfield. I'm like, so he really didn't want to come out and say Baco. He just said State. One word, State.
And, you know, Bakersfield's played at Oregon State, and they've done some pretty good scheduling. They're independent, of course, who used to be really good in D2. Maybe we'll get our boy Will to take some pictures down at
He did a great job.
At the Long Beach game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe we'll get him to take some pictures down at, which is his real hometown, which is Fullerton.
Mm-hmm.
Or either that or we can get Bitter B maybe over there. He's also a big photography guy.
He'll ask too many questions and make too many complaints. That's what they call him Bitter B for a reason, right?
Bitter guy in the backseat.
Oh, and if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it my way, okay? I don't want to hear what you have to say about it. Just let me do it my way. Owen.
We love you, Bryce.
Yeah. Shut up.
Speaking of Bryce, just one more thing about Wisconsin. One of the more popular shirts, and I got one for Bryce Who Drinks Windex, got him a shirt. It says, "Show me how to Bucky." And that's kind of the...
He will wear that with pride.
Absolutely.
He might even cut it off, you know, and so he can show a little navel.
Or cut off the sleeves. Scott just had a mental picture that he didn't like very
like
much.
Like a 1980s football player, you know? Yeah, no, he wants to look like a 1980s football player.
Either that or he'll cut off the sleeves and go sleeveless so he can be...
Or both.
So he can show off his guns, yeah.
At any rate.
So listen, the game's going to be fun tonight. I recommend people go and catch a Cal Poly game this year. They got a lot of seniors. They're a fun team to watch.
And if you're,
I've
and
said
if,
it before.
And if you're in Slo County, it's not that far. I mean, you're 20 minutes from Mott Gym.
It's worth your time.
You know? It is.
It's worth your time if you like basketball.
General admission's what, $10?
10 or 12, yeah. It's worth your time if you like basketball.
Jam a hot dog down the gullet, you know?
Absolutely.
Buy a soda.
Yeah.
Sit down, relax.
Yeah.
Have a good time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Coach Calero's doing great things with this team.
Yes, sir. All right, we're going to come back. Enough college basketball. We're going to talk about a little NBA later, but first, we have
what everybody's talking about.
What's happening tomorrow, which is Sunday, the championship games. Andy's got a new post about that on the website, and we'll talk about it when we come back. Fansmanship.com podcast. And we're back, fansmanship.com podcast. What up, guys?
Back with a snap. Back with a pop.
Yeah.
Snap
with a crack of the whip.
Crack of the whip.
Tip of the cap.
Let's get into what, and there are so many people that I've talked with over the past few weeks about playoff football. And a lot of them are Niner fans. And
Tim Tebow. Oh, wait.
Tim Tebow's gone.
No, gone.
That's over.
No.
Forget about it. A lot of Niner fans, and they've been in a tizzy.
A tizzy.
I would say because they're kind of between the point of celebration to now becoming really nervous about the Giants.
Yeah.
So they're kind of at that mixed feeling point because as soon as they won that game, I couldn't hear the end of it. And some of them are talking about, I got 49 problems and the Packers aren't one. You know, it's like you guys didn't even beat the Packers. Keep that word out of your mouth, okay? For the past 15 years, Green Bay has gone 13-1 against San Francisco. All right, so it doesn't give you, you know, carte blanche to just
to bag on the team that you didn't
Super Bowl champions. So I don't want to hear it. But yeah.
So Andy, just real quick, you are a Packers fan, just to make it clear.
Definitely, yes.
Yeah, Andy's
yes.
been a Packers fan since
The days of Magic.
Since
Man.
He was knee high to a duck.
Don Majkowski. He was my first favorite player there. He was the Magic Man with the golden mullet.
Can you spell Majkowski?
Majikowski.
Ooh, that I after the J is the one that usually gets people. I think probably. Real quick, Andy, tell me. We'll start in the NFC since that's where you started. You said a lot of the Niner fans, and there are a lot on the Central Coast, especially since the Rams
and it's
moved
funny because
and the Raiders moved. And
do you remember Morgan Williams? He was saying, growing up,
he was.
I don't remember anybody else being a Niner fan. It's like, are you nuts?
He was though.
Yeah, he was. That's fine,
time.
But he was trying to say that he was the only one.
There were many.
It's like Brian Robinson was in your class, and he was a diehard Niner fan since the day I met him. So.
Absolutely, yeah.
Anyway.
So there's a lot of Niner fans out there, and a lot of them who haven't necessarily been vocal Niner fans are now that they've gotten past the divisional round.
Well, they have something finally to cheer for.
They're one win away from the Super Bowl, and this is a fan base that was used to Super Bowls for two decades, 80s and 90s.
They were spoiled.
And for 10 or 12 years, you know, they've gone through a period of being really, really bad.
Yeah.
Alex Smith didn't look like he was the one. Tell me kind of what's the general perception. You said people are both excited and nervous?
Well, they're kind of getting to the point where they realize that, okay, you know, this team is good enough to keep on winning. We shouldn't be satisfied with just beating the Saints at home. We got the Giants coming in who everyone's making a big deal about them being the hottest team in football right now. Uh-huh. And they are, I think. But right. I think some of the people out there are maybe undervaluing the Niners a little bit.
Sure.
Just because of how hot the Giants are.
Sure.
You know, so I personally see the Niners kind of –
we'll get to our picks in a second if you're about to make a
pick.
Well,
no. I just think as far as the game's concerned, they're going to try to impose their will. Uh-huh. Both teams want to run the ball. Uh-huh. That's definitely evident. And uh-huh. I think the Niners are going to stick with it more. And that's going to frustrate Eli Manning a little bit, and he might make a few mistakes.
Sure. Yeah, and you know, when you talk about the NFL, you're right. There's this prevailing wisdom of the Giants are going to win. The other thing that's interesting to me is the Niners haven't been here in so long, and this is the first time they've actually had something to lose in 10 years. And so I think that's the nervousness that you see from the fans is that what's it like to have something to lose? Laker fans always have something to lose, right?
That is true,
You know, Packer fans recently have had something to lose most years. Niner fans all of a sudden have this opportunity, and it doesn't come around very often to be able to get to the Super Bowl.
Not in today's NFL.
They're one win away.
Unless you're Tom Brady. You know? You
got to take advantage of that time that you're in the championship game or the Super Bowl. Just ask the Falcons. Ask the Panthers.
Especially the way they're doing
it. The Jake DeHaan Panthers?
They're doing it just with their defense and a quarterback that is starting to slowly come along.
Sure.
And then a new coach that's kind of the hot topic in the NFL right now. But you know, you want to look back in history, what teams were like San Francisco? Look at the Baltimore Ravens. I mean, they kind of have a little bit of staying power, but after they did win that Super Bowl, they kind of disappeared for a few years.
Well, even when their offense got better. And so, you know, you got to take advantage of this time. Otherwise, you end up like a franchise. And it's not a bad thing to be
the Titans.
The Titans were good for a long time. The Panthers were good for a number of years until DeLome kind of fell off the wagon.
Uh-huh.
The Falcons got to the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Okay.
Dirty Bird.
People forget, right? People forget about these teams that get to the Super Bowl. And
Eugene
so,
Robinson got caught with a hooker. Remember that?
That's
like
the
last guy that you think would ever do that. Man. Idiot.
So you forget about the teams that lost a lot of the time. Uh-huh. You know, you forget about some of those squads that aren't there every year. Obviously, the Steelers have been really good for the last couple of years. Let's get a pick on the NFC game. Who's your football team, just out of curiosity, Scott?
You grew up around a lot of Niner fans, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I can't have one right now.
You can't have one.
His wife won't let him.
No, I just don't know.
He already has enough toys. She won't let him have any more.
Yeah.
His favorite football team is whatever football team allows him to get out and fly some jets.
Exactly. Well, he just enjoys the sport, just watching it and getting fired up about whoever's playing. So
absolutely,
I'd say the Ducks.
The Ducks.
Not, you know.
He likes watching Ducks football. Yeah. We've watched plenty of games.
UO.
The Ducks. We almost went this year.
We wanted to go to the Rose Bowl.
All shades of green.
And we found out later on that his boss could have got us tickets to the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
And he was in L.A. at the time. Yeah. He,
right there looking at the floats.
He went to all the fanfare and all that stuff. And
say, what?
Yeah. You need to drop Ciara in there for that.
Yeah, I actually can't right this second. Okay. So
anyway.
Who do you like? Giants or 49ers? Throw it out there. In San Francisco. It's going to rain tomorrow. Who do you got?
I'll just say the Giants.
Hopefully. The Giants. Okay. All right. There you go. There you go.
The G-Men.
I'm going to take
the New York Football Giants.
The G-Men.
I'm going to take, because the prevailing wisdom is that the 49ers are going to get rolled over by the more experienced Giants. And that could happen. But because that's the NFL and the NFL, when everybody thinks one thing is going to happen, all the way since, you know, everybody thought the Rams were going to beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl and the Patriots rolled them. Brady's first. Ever since then, my picks are generally go against what everybody thinks. And so I'm going to go ahead and pick the 49ers. Listen, they won, 13 games this year?
13-3.
Yeah, and so, yeah. I'm going to go with them.
14-3 now.
I'm going to go with them.
Yep. Yeah, they did come off beating the Saints team. And, you know, I think people underestimate San Francisco because so many people are talking about New York.
And the Giants are playing great. Don't get me wrong.
They are. But I think, like I said, San Francisco is going to impose their will the way they've been doing it all season. I see them coming out playing field position, kicking field goals. I see the score at halftime being somewhere in the area of like 9-7.
Oh, wow.
Something like that. And then in the second half, I do see the Giants kind of giving it their last effort. But I think, again, Eli Manning is going to have, because San Francisco's run defense is so good, I think they're going to have to rely on Eli Manning. He's going to make a couple errors. Some crucial interceptions, maybe even a sack with a fumble or something like that, where the field position is going to change really quick. And I picked San Francisco to win 22-17. I believe the over under right now is somewhere, I think it was 42.5. So if I were a betting man, I'd take the under. And I think San Francisco is favored by 2.5. So I would also take San Francisco.
There you go. And I got one more X factor in the game. And that, of course, is a local one. If Ramses Barden has 25,
Ramses.
If he has 25 or more yards of receiving, then I'm changing my pick.
Yeah.
Okay. Then I'm going to go with the Giants.
All right. So that's the disclaimer.
If they actually play him and throw it to him, although the Giants receivers have got healthy now, Cruz and Manningham, they've never put Ramses in the end zone and thrown it up to him.
No. Nope.
Dude is like 6'7" and has hands as big as your head. And I know Nix is also pretty tall, but
Nix is only like 6'5", I think.
I want to see Ramses get a shot at catching a touchdown. And I think a game like an NFC championship is a game that if they have confidence in him to do something like that, is kind of, oh, he's over there. What the hell is
he going
to
be
in the
hidden hero?
Right.
Who's going to be the David Tyree?
Who knows? It would be fun if it was Ramses. I don't know that the Giants aren't going to
get a Hail Mary at the end of the first half, too. So
you got to
toss that in there.
Yeah. All right.
Moving on to the AFC.
Correct.
A lot of people, again, are underestimating Baltimore because Tom Brady, he just tore the Broncos apart. I do have doubts. I do have doubts about Joe Flacco in big games. Although he has won 11 games, he's averaged 11 wins every year for the first 4 years of his career.
Who would you rather have in this championship game, Flacco or Alex Smith?
Flacco.
Flacco for sure. Yeah, I agree.
Absolutely.
I agree.
Because he
a lot of people talk about him with no confidence, like he's Alex Smith, but he's not.
No,
and it's one of the reasons I'm just going to come out and say it.
He's kind of like a Ben Roethlisberger that's not quite there yet, as far as what he's done. Not his game by any stretch, but as far as what he's done.
Yeah, I agree. He manages the game well. He puts his team in the right position. And he takes advantage when he has it.
Ben Roethlisberger won a Super Bowl, and then he became the Ben Roethlisberger that we know today. So it can happen.
I'm just going to make my pick because. We're running out of time. We need to get to the game. I'm going to just pick the Patriots because I think Tom Brady getting one more shot is awesome. And I also think that the idea that a team with one of the worst defenses in the NFL, and this is where the NFL is going. It's two distinct kind of trains of thought. One train of thought is that you have to have a really great defense.
Uh-huh.
One train of thought is that you have to have a really great offense. The Ravens, the Niners have the defense. The Patriots have the offense.
Uh-huh.
And the Giants are the most balanced team, which is why they're so popular right now.
Uh-huh.
But I think a Super Bowl with the Patriots, this great offensive team, and the Niners, this great defensive team, would really be the, I guess the the poster child.
The battle of polar opposites.
It would be the great example of the way that the NFL is going right now. Between
the two
these
ways
really,
to do it going against each other.
That's exactly right. Okay. And the idea that you have to be extreme one way or the other. Extreme.
Extreme close up.
Whoa. in order to be a really successful team. Right. So you said you have
I have the Patriots as well. I see Baltimore sticking close there in the first half, but I just see Brady kind of having that magic to just kind of take over at the end and Flacco
right,
not.
Right,
I
right.
think the difference between Brady and Flacco will be the fourth quarter.
Mm.
And I remember picking the game I picked, I believe, 26-20, maybe even 30-20.
In your article?
Yeah. And then I took a look at the over-under after I picked, and it was 44.5, so I was right there. So I would definitely take the over because they do have the tendency to score a lot, the Patriots, and 44.5 is kind of a small number.
There you go.
And I think the Patriots are, though, favored by like 7.5, but I think Baltimore is going to keep it close to that. So I would take the over, and I would take Baltimore and the points.
Fabulous. And so tomorrow's going to be a real fun week. And then the week after, or tomorrow is going to be a real fun football weekend, I guess. Two games only. But
and it's going to be raining, so everybody's going to be inside around here. So
at this point in the season, let's talk about it, though, because at this point in the season, there's only three more NFL games left the whole year, not including
the
Pro Bowl.
The Pro Bowl? Yeah. Pro Bowl's over there in the corner crying.
Sorry.
I'm
sorry, Pro Bowl.
I got all the All-Stars, you know?
No, you did not. actually. So the other thing about this time of the year is that we have, you know, NCAA basketball conference play. But one of the really unique things about this time of the year, this season specifically, is the NBA schedule. And the fact that we have a lot of games in a short period of time. You like that?
Yeah.
And Segway is not just something that you ride on in a mall. So you have...
The kid is back on the escalator again.
So it's not just, you know, it's not just that NFL's ending, but that we have NBA games on national TV
and
every night.
And they're
right
loaded.
Now.
They're loaded, and they're
fun. And,
yeah.
And I would
I'm
much rather...
Out of it. Even though the Lakers stink right
there's
now.
There's always something on. And so it almost doesn't put so much emphasis on every little game. And it makes it easier to watch as a fan. When I only have one game a week or like two or three games a week that I have the opportunity to watch, I'm always stressed out about watching a Laker game. Because I'm a big Laker fan like you are.
But now it's just kind of...
Now it's just like four games a week, five games a week.
Just get blasted.
Yeah, it's kind of great.
Punched in the face with NBA basketball. And I like the feeling.
It hurts so good.
It hurts so good.
Yeah, I really have been enjoying it. Andy, the Lakers just went into
Florida. My question to you is,
do you
think that now that there's such a disparity that can be clearly seen with this team, that because Steve Blake is hurt, Coach Brown's having to play two rookie point guards, does Mitch Kupchak now go out?
Old Fisher.
Yeah,
wouldn't it have been nice to get Paul, right? I mean, you see that now. And you're
yeah,
like,
would have, could have, should have. Rearview mirror. Do you think Kupchak now goes out and tries to make that key move with that trade exception that he has in his back pocket?
Yeah, I guess he does have a trade exception, right? What are they going to
have? And look at Odom, by the way. Speaking of that trade, man, what a glum. Oh, yeah? All right. You want to leave Lamar? Get out. See ya.
Yeah.
The next day, send him packing. Now he's just sitting there in Dallas with his lower lip.
Yeah,
going,
you know, I always like Lamar,
10 minutes
so I'm not going to talk too much
three
trash.
3 points and two rebounds.
I always like Lamar, so I'm not going to talk too much trash. But seeing how much weight Lamar had gained since the offseason, I think probably
he's on
Mitch,
Chloe's diet.
Probably Mitch made the right,
I'm a beast.
Probably Mitch made the right decision about that.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that when you look at the Lakers, though, not being able to get Howard or Paul has really left them in this kind of standstill. And if Odom would have been healthy and in the right place, I think the team deserved another shot. The fact that he wasn't, and the fact that they lose guys like Shannon Brown and Trevor Ariza
the loss of Shannon Brown went a lot further than people thought as far as the
athletic guys like,
on the team.
Like Brown and Ariza.
Because they don't have any of those
guys. They lose.
Yeah.
They have hardly any athletes anymore. You know, Matt Barnes is lanky, but he's not really jumping out of the gym, right?
Meta World Peace looks like he has no like hinges in his bones. He's just like a stick man.
His back is very tight. Yeah. Right? I mean, because it's so strong though, right? I mean, the dude is like, he's ridiculous. He's very strong, but again, he's not long. He's not athletic in the way that like a Trevor Ariza would be, and I've said that for a long time. Tell me this, Andy. A lot of teams have And we have about 5 minutes here, I think. A lot of teams have a lot of older players nowadays, the Spurs, the Lakers, a lot of these teams that are kind of older. And a lot of teams are kind of having off nights because of this schedule.
The Celtics, they're thinking about blowing that thing up here all that time.
And I think they should.
Really?
And I think they should if they were smart. Yeah, just do it. Rip it off.
Is there anyone on that roster that could help LA? I mean, Paul Pierce.
But the other interesting thing about this year is that if you get into the playoffs, who the hell knows, right? You get into the playoffs, and I mean, Miami's going to be very hard to beat in the East, but in the West, you get into the playoffs, and then it's how good are you for 7 games, and gosh, anything could happen at that point. Tell me about a few examples or a few teams from your perspective that have benefited. I know the Spurs are doing really well, which is kind of surprising.
And they don't have Manu.
Right, which is surprising, right? Yeah. That's a testament to them. Tell me about the Clippers. They lost Paul, and when you lose a guy for a week, it's 5 games, not 3. So what's up with that?
Well, they lost Paul, but they've won a few games that people maybe didn't think that they could in a row. They beat Miami, then they beat Dallas.
Yeah.
I think who else did they beat? The Lakers.
The Lakers, yeah.
Right. So they did that 3-game stretch. So
they're a solid team. They're about 4 deep at point guard, I think.
Yeah.
Chauncey and Mo Williams, and they have another one,
I wish there's some way the Lakers could get
Mo Williams. Yeah.
He could run.
Yeah. Or Chauncey.
Offense.
If they could have got Chauncey Billups, dude. Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's a...
So, I don't know if it's really... The whole condensed schedule thing, I don't know if it's really affecting the teams yet. We definitely have plenty of games right now to take a look at it and see if there's any effect. But maybe we're still not quite to that point where you're seeing guys really break down, although there have been some key injuries.
Right.
Manu Ginobili, who else comes to mind?
Zach Randolph,
yeah. That's right. What about this, and we'll kind of get out of here on this, if the Lakers were to go get Howard, who do you see on that roster that the Lakers could take on for that trade exception to help Orlando? Like a Hedo Turkoglu or something like that?
Yeah.
Just a really bad contract?
Yeah, and Turkoglu could help him. Turkoglu could be the Odom. I mean, Turkoglu and Odom are really close to being the same player, minus a little bit of rebounding for Turkoglu. But, you can get a lot of better outside
shooting.
Actually,
have someone who can hit a three-pointer.
Who can hit a three-pointer,
The Lakers
yeah.
are worst in the league right now.
Yeah, Hedo can do that, and he's big enough that he doesn't take all he has to shoot one. I mean, Fisher's been
short
on a lot of
his threes.
And that's
a really bad contract, too. I think he's getting paid like 18 or something.
If anybody
like that.
Can afford it, it's the Lakers.
Yeah.
What I'd love to see the Lakers do is go get a guy like JaVale McGee. I joke, kind of.
Segway. is with JaVale McGee? Does he still think he's on the Globetrotters or something? Because I think he might have played one.
We were talking to
summer.
Scott, and he said that he's seen the Globetrotters before. He was telling us about it.
And JaVale McGee tossing it off the backboard to himself and dunking down what?
When you're like 7'4" and like
as
athletic
down 20,
as he is.
They were down 20 points and their record was like 1-11 at the time.
The coach pulled him.
And he just doesn't get it. And then after the game goes, yeah, I'd do it again if I could.
No.
he just doesn't get
that?
It.
I know he
yeah,
said
he did
I know he said what it, you know why he got pulled. Hey, I guess I'm not supposed to do that.
Flip Saunders, he can't change the culture. They still kind of have the remnants of Gilbert Arenas hanging around with that team, just wacky kind of. They're like in Spaceland.
You have McGee, who's spacey. You have Andre Blatch, who is just like McGee. Nick Young got a 1-year deal. He wanted a big contract last year. He got a 1-year deal, so he's just jacking it every chance he gets. I don't know if he still has a mohawk. He did at one point at USC. But you have some real knuckleheads still there, and not a lot of real smart players. It's
what
a wonder that John
Lakers
Wall
could get
isn't.
A Rashard Lewis. There's another bad contract.
Take it.
Guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, Odom like guy, 6'10", who can shoot and rebound
like
a little bit.
Deal.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. 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 Maybe Mitch is already working on stuff like that.
Hopefully.
What we're working on is getting our sorry behinds over to my gym. So
I actually got to get dressed.
Yeah, got to get there. So we will catch you next time. This is the fansmanship.com podcast. Again, available on iTunes and on fansmanship.com. Please keep listening, and we will catch you next time, probably next weekend. Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to the Fansmanship.com podcast. For more news, opinions, and podcasts, go to www.fansmanship.com.